In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Today we are celebrating the fourth week in the Great Lent. And as we see the last 2 weeks we closed the church, and that's why we didn't pray the last Sunday, which is the prodigal son. And today the Samaritan woman, the mid of the Great Lent. And the church celebrate the 55 days for the Great Lent only to give us time for repentance. As we see that all the hymns, all the tones, everything inside the church during the Great Lent related to give us a spirit of repentance and confession too. These days where we are celebrating, we try to be involved more and to be more close to God, that God may give us His Spirit inside us more and more, and to pray more and more, and to fast and give us our body and our spirit sacrifices to God in order to have the benefit by the end of the Great Lent. And every week we are remember ourselves and remind ourselves too that we have to repent. That's why we decided that we have a series during the few weeks, 7 weeks during the Great Lent, to meditate on the 7 Psalms of repentance. And today is the Psalm 51. And we know exactly that we are praying the 7 hours from the Agbaya. And to start the prayers, we have to start by thanksgiving and have mercy, Psalm 51. As if the church should try to remind us, without thanksgiving, to thank God about everything, and without repentance and to ask His mercy, we can't pray. We can't start any prayer. We know also very well that we can't start anything without thanks God about our life, to thank Him about everything. And the second part from the prayer, any prayers we have, to ask His mercy. Because we are very weak. Because we are a sinner. And He knows that. And we know also that we are very weak. And due to our weakness, so we ask His mercy. And according to His mercy and His love, we ask this mercy. He is the purity who can purify us. He is the glory. He can glorify us. That's why we ask His mercy all the time and in all our prayers. Psalm 51, it's written by David, response to infamous sin. And we know how David, he already sinned and he fell in the sin. In the beginning, he didn't know. Or who tried to hide his sin inside him without revealing his sin. And he committed his sin when he was a king. But also too, he never revealed his sin and he tried to hide his sin. You can imagine that one of the king preferred to the God's heart. He fell in the sin. And God sent Nathan in order to wake up him and to tell him, you know what you did? You have an issue. You did a sin. You fell in the sin. You are a sinner. In the beginning, he didn't see that. Until Nathan came to him and said, like, you are the men. You can imagine, let's imagine together. One prophet named Nathan, he has to go to the king. He has to try to tell him about what you did before, and you have a problem in your life. He has a power, this prophet, he has a power. He went to the king to tell him, you are a sinner, and to rebuking him. But really, David, he's not only a king, he is a man after God's own heart. And he only just he received a message from Nathan, and Nathan said to him, you are a man, you are this man, after he gave him the parable of the poor man. And he said, I am the man, and I did this sin. If we go to this to meditate on the Psalm 51, we will try to go with 8 steps for real repentance, as exactly as David did before. He took the 8 steps for repentance. Now we are in the middle of the Great Lent, and we have to take also the 8 steps for repentance. We can't hide ourselves, we can't hide our sins, we can't do anything unless Nathan came to me and say, you are the man. And this is the Holy Spirit exactly, or anything like as a sign that God gave me and saying, you are the man and you have to repent and you have to come back to my bosom. First step, it's a rule number 1, is define the sin. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgression. First of all, in the 2 Samuel 12, David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. He defined his sin exactly like a prodigal son when he went outside and he lost everything. He stayed with himself and he said, I am a problem. I have this problem. I have to change myself. He defined his sin. Where is the problem? I have to put my finger on my issue and my sin. Why I have a coldness in my prayer? Why it's cold when I'm praying at church? Why I can't feel anything? Why I have a problem? There is a sin inside my heart, which is a barrier between me and between God. And I have to define this sin. David said, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, and just immediately Nathan said, after he confessed his issue and his sin, Nathan said, the Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die. First step is to confess and to understand my sin. Our problem now that we are in our life, we are living, and we feel that this is a life and we have to live normally. But we try to hide inside our hearts what we have, the sin that we are doing. As if maybe God, he will not remember, forget my sin. Or as if maybe God will, he didn't know what I did. Because God is covering me. Sometimes I feel that he's covering me because he didn't know. He has mercy, but I will not confess, I'm not repenting, and his love will cover me. No. I can't hide my sin all my life. I have to reveal it, and I have to know it, and I have to put my finger on it, and I say, this is the problem. For I know my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. This is exactly what David said. I know my sin. I know my transgression. I know it's exactly what I did, and it's ever before my eyes. Even I try to hide my sin all of my life, there is something inside my heart, it's like a black box. And exactly, I put all my sin inside. but it's heavy and I have to reveal it. Sometimes I feel like I can't pray. There's some problem in my life. I have to define my sin. And I have to know this is what is exactly the problem and what an issue. And I have to open my heart and I have to reveal it. In James 5:16, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. If I confess my issue, my sin, I will be healed. If I'm repenting, I will be healed. As if I'm having on my shoulders a lot of burdens and I'm walking. And Jesus Christ came to me and said, I will take your burdens. Give it to me, don't worry about that. And I'm saying to myself, no, I can't give it to you at all. I will have it all my life. Exactly, David said, like, it's hard on me. All the sins are before me, before my eyes. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray to one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. David tried to hide his sin at first, but when it came out, it came out. And then he was healed. Rule number two. First one, I have to define my sin. I have to sitting down and know. Like today, exactly also too, Samaritan woman. In the beginning, she was have a discussion with Jesus Christ. All the time she tried to debate. The water of Abraham, what you are saying, what you are doing. And finally, when Jesus Christ tried to talk to her heart about the sin that she has and she is hiding, and suddenly she knew about her hiding sin, so she said, do you know about what I have? Exactly, this is a sin that I try to hide it. And finally, she left everything. She left her old life and she came back to God. Rule number two, appeal to God's mercy. He said, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. You have to define the sin. I have to reveal it. I have to take it out from my heart and I can't hide my sin inside my heart. But according to what? Based on what? It's based on His mercy and His love. And I know that He is loving me. And I know also that He is looking to me all the time and He's saying, come to me, my son. According to His mercy, He is waiting to come back to His bottom. David appealed for forgiveness based only on how he knew God. In the beginning, he tried to pray a lot when he was young. He took a lot of time, outside when he was praying, singing, meditating, and he tried to be more close to God. So he knows who is God. He knows His mercy. He knows His love. He knows His protection. He knows everything about His mighty. He knows Him very well. And after he knows Him very well, after he fell in the sin, when Nathan came to him and told him, you are the man, and David didn't debate. And he said, I am. After that, he said, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. Because I am a sinner, I come to you is according to your love and to your mercy. Number one, I have to define my sin and I have to know exactly what I'm doing. I have to evaluate myself. I have to sitting down with myself, and I have to know exactly what I sinned before. And this sin is against God, not against anyone. Number two, I have to repent. It's not only because I'm repenting, because I should repent only. No, it's according to His mercy. According to His mercy and His love too. Rule number three, or step number three in repentance, avoid defensiveness and see God rightly. David said in verse number four, against you, you only have I sinned. I have to remember that I'm not sinning against anyone. Even I'm lying, I'm doing anything, or I'm doing any sin against anyone in the world. Maybe hurting people, hurting multitude, as David did before. But the problem that I'm not doing that against the people, it's against God. And when David revealed and defined his sin, he went to God according to His mercy. And he said, I already against you, I have sinned. He didn't make any defend himself. Sometimes I come to confession, and I said to my father of confession, you know, for example, I did that. But I did that because there is some people hurting me. That's why this is my reaction. I can't defend myself. It's a sin. It's a sin. I can't defend myself. I can't give myself excuse why I did that. So when Nathan came to David, he didn't defend himself. And he said, I am a sinner against God. I did that, not against anyone. I have sinned against the Lord. Rule number three, I have to avoid to give myself excuse in the confession or in repentance. I'm not praying because I'm weak. I have no time to pray. I lie because this is a life. I have to do that. I did that because it's the word. Everyone doing that, I have to do the same. It's an excuse, but I can't do that. If I know exactly my sin, and I already reveal it, and I came to God according to His mercy, and I know how He's loving me. Number three, I can't defend myself, and I give myself excuse. Number four, I have to look to Jesus. In verse number seven, cleanse me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Hyssop in Hebrew, it's exactly from Exodus 24. It's to purify. It's meaning purify, cleaning. And how David knows about this? He is expecting to clean his heart, to clean himself. But he asking this from God. Maybe he is asking that because he will give sacrifice later on. He knows exactly that the blood of the sacrifice will clean, but temporary. But now, from the altar, we know that every day we are doing a liturgy, we know that the blood of Christ cleans me from all my sin. It's exactly like a gate. Jesus Christ came to the world, and He said, I'm giving you an open for you a gate to go and enter from this gate. If you sin, if you fell, so I have a gate now. Go to this gate and repent and confess. And I will clean you. Like when we have, for example, like the church, after we close the church, we disinfect all the church. A company came and disinfect all the church and cleans everything. When I came to the church after that, oh wow, it's clean. It's exactly like my heart. When I come to Jesus, I know very well there is Jesus came to me because with His blood, and He cleans my heart. Look only to Him. When I repent, I have to look to Him. That's why Abuna Bishr Kamil, he taught everyone to have the icon of the cross in front of everyone. It's an icon of love, an icon of how God came to clean all the sin of everyone in the world. David went to God as if he's a child. He fell in dust and he came to God, "What I can do? I'm very dirty." And exactly when I go to Christ, when I go for confession, I come to Abuna and I said, like, "I'm dirty." And Abuna put his cross on my head and said, I'm absolving you, my son." And here he's reading the absolution as if exactly cleaning the heart. Cleaning the heart. In Hebrew 9 verse 26, "Has appeared once for all at the culmination of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself." And he did that, and he said, "Whiter than snow, purify me from my sins, and I will be clean. Wash me and will be whiter than snow." You can imagine, we know the snow, how it's very bright and white. When I come to Christ, when I give him my sin, and I'm dirty, he is cleaning my heart, and I become like white as snow. Rule number 5, ask God to break you and heal you. So if I'm coming to God, I know my sin exactly. And I came to him because according to his mercy. And also too, I know very well that I'm not defending myself. I reveal it already, I'm not defending anything. I'm looking only to the love, the icon of love, to the cross, and I know that his blood whitening will clean my heart, and I will become like a whiter than snow. So rule number five, I'm asking God to break and heal me. Okay, you know that I have a fraction. And he said in verse 8, "Let the bones you have crushed rejoice." As if I have some bones already crushed inside me and have fracture in my bones. And I went to the doctor and said, "Please, can you help me in that? Can you heal me? Like, can you give me something different? I wanted to live without this fraction." This is exactly that sin is doing with me. Break my heart and break the bones. It's heavy. The sin is heavy on the heart. When any man living with a sin is living with like burdens. So Jesus Christ came and said, come to me. Come to me if you have a problem, if you have issues, if you have a burden, if you have anything on your shoulders, come to me and I will take it off. So number 5, we said, let the bones you have crushed rejoice. It's very painful for David when he has all this sin and he tried to hide all, like during a year, he tried to hide all his sin. And he forgot, okay, this is what I have, what I live. But during this life, he has a problem inside his heart, something different, something like make him like annoying. He is annoyed. Until Nathan came to him and he told him about his sin. And finally he said, "You see, this is my fraction. My bones already broke it." He said also, rule number six, be comforted by the Spirit. He said, "Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me." David, he said, do not take your Holy Spirit from me. When I reveal myself, reveal the sin in front of God, and I now define my sin, I came to God according to His mercy, and I know that He is loving me a lot. And also I'm not defending myself and not giving myself excuse. I'm looking also too to Jesus Christ that He will clean also too. For sure He will clean that according, because from the blood of Christ when He came on and He crucified on the cross, He will clean my heart too. And number five, as we said, I'm asking to not take the Spirit. Please not take, number five, it try to heal me from this fraction that I have, because the sin is very, very heavy on me. And finally, number six, I said, comforted by the Spirit, I said to Him, please not take your Holy, not to not, do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Yeah, I'm asking Him to not take your Spirit from me. That's why when I go at the beginning of the sermon, I said, sometimes I'm feeling that I have no feelings. I have nothing when I'm praying. Where is the Spirit? Sometimes I come to the church and I'm praying with the people. Yes, I'm praying by my mouth, but I have nothing inside my heart. I'm asking myself, where is your beginning? Your spiritual life now is very cold. I'm asking myself, where are you now? And the answer is, you are now outside from God. You are far from God. The Holy Spirit now is not working very well inside you. He's inside you, but not working very well, because there are barriers between you and between God, between the Holy Spirit, which is a sin. He said, please, do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Also, he said, rule number seven, which is rejoice and proclaiming Him. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners shall be converted to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. I will give it. Rule number seven, rejoice and proclaim. I have to say to God, I'm saying that as David, open my lips, Lord, and my mouth will declare your praise. I'm very happy after all that. You already clean my heart already. You also too, I became like whiter than snow. And also you changed my life. You clean, and also too, you already healed my broken bones. So I have to rejoice. You keep your spirit inside me, and I have to rejoice. And I have to, singing with David, open my lips, Lord, and my mouth will declare your praise. And finally, resolve to obey. The sacrifices of God are broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. If I'm thinking that I also, when I can repent and confess, this is the last step, and God is cleaning me, and I have nothing to do after that, I'm wrong. I have to do another step, which is the last step. I have to obey and I have to give my spirit as a sacrifice. I have to continue the same road. I have to continue the same repentance every single day. As we said in the beginning, all the seven prayers, starting by thanksgiving and have mercy, Psalm 51. Every single prayer and every single day, I remind myself about repentance. As if when I open my eyes and wake up, I have to tell myself, this is the new day for you. It's a new day for repentance. Eight steps I have to learn it from Psalm 51 for the real repentance. One, define the sin and I have to know my sin. Two, I have to appeal to God's mercy. I came to God because He's according to His mercy and His love. Three, and I have to avoid defensiveness and see God rightly, and I have to avoid excuses. Number four, I have to look to Jesus, who will clean my heart by his blood. Ask God, number five, ask God to break me and to heal me. Number six, I have to be comforted by the Spirit and ask his Spirit, keep his Spirit inside me. Number seven, I have to rejoice because he gave me the salvation and he already forgave my sin. Number eight, I have to continue and I have to give my soul as a sacrifice, and glory be to God forever. Amen.
We believe in one God, God the Father, the Pantocrator, creator of heaven and earth and all of things seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all ages, light of light, true God of true God, begotten, not created, of one essence with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became man. And he was crucified for us under Pontius Pilate, suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose from the dead according to the Scriptures, ascended into the heaven and sits at the right hand of his Father. And is coming again in his glory, judge living and dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. Yes, we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who is the Father and Son is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets, and one holy Catholic Apostolic Church. We confess one baptism for the remission of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and life to age to come. Amen. Την κοστέ βολχάετ εν τη Αναστάσεις εν τέν ιερευμούτ, νεμ ποιον χεν τε ποιον εσ νέιο. Αμήν.
Αχτήρι σαμχώνει αχωρίου. Σλήν
Εμπί προσευχή έστασή τη
εις μου ειρήνη πάση
και το πνεύμα της
ο God, the great eternal formed man in incorruption, and which entered into the world through the envy of the devil, you have destroyed by the life-giving manifestation of your only begotten Son, our Lord God and Savior, Jesus Christ, you have filled the earth with the heavenly peace, by which the host of angels glorify you, saying, Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, and goodwill toward us.